The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
8:07 here on June 20th, 2018. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Mark on vacation this week. He will return on Monday. You can follow me on Twitter, and I hope you will, at Paul Gleiser, G-L-E-I-S-E-R. You can also follow my weekly column at my blog, youtellmetaxes.com. We've been talking this morning about emotionalism overruling and winning the day over reason and logic with respect to the situation on our southern border and the inevitable effects of enforcing the law where you have gone for decades not enforcing the law. Another very, very emotional topic is gun control. We have anytime we have one of these horrific mass shootings, we get into very, very emotional responses, very emotional arguments that when you test them logically don't hold up. On the line with me is Mark W. Smith. Mark is a constitutional attorney. And he is the author of The Official Handbook of the Vast Right-Wing Conspiracy, The Arguments You Need to Defeat the Loony Left. Mark, good morning, and welcome to North Texas.
Good morning, Paul. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you, sir.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on, and I'm glad you're having me on to talk about gun control and my new book, Duped, which discusses how the anti-gun lobby is exploiting the Parkland school kids to try to steal our guns. And, you know, I wrote this book for gun owners in the United States to have the arguments they need to talk about the importance of guns to their lives and to the lives of their friends.
Mark,
and, of course, the lesson of Parkland is that government will not be there to protect you at the end of the day. You better protect yourself.
Well, you know, Mark, we're before you came on the air, we're talking about the very, very emotional response to the images of children and the anguish at the at our southern border. And then anytime we have one of these school shootings, we get very, very emotional images and very, very emotional responses. But what is the reality with respect to these mass shootings, and what is the reality of the argument that as a result of them, we need to reduce the number of guns that are in society?
Well, the reality is that the reason why the criminals and the crazies go to schools is because they're largely gun-free zones, right? They go there. They don't shoot up police stations because the police have the ability to shoot back. And they know that with the mainstream media will give school shootings a lot of attention. So essentially, while we surround all sorts of government offices with guys with guns, we decide when it comes to schools, you know, as a general rule, not all schools, but in many schools in the United States, there's nobody's allowed to have a gun. And then, of course, if you look at Parkland, Paul, what happened there is the one guy with the gun, Scott Peterson, decided to, you know, when the shooting broke out, to stay outside the school and not intervene. And then you had the two unarmed security guards at Parkland. One drove away in a golf cart when the shooting started, and the other hid in the closet. So this is not exactly the kind of government response we can depend on when it comes to our lives. And, of course, the solution is, well, when it comes to the solution, I ask, what does the president do? Well, the president surrounds himself with guys with guns. And what does every law enforcement in the United States do? Every law enforcement agency in the United States, again, uses guns to protect themselves. So I think we should learn from the experts, and we should have guns, too, to defend ourselves and our families. It's the best way of doing it.
So here's where the demagogues will get you. They would accuse you of wanting everybody to strap a gun on their hips in the style of the old West and walk around with their gun clearly visible and daring anybody to confront them and go back to the Wild West.
Yeah, well, let's talk about those demigods for a moment. Strangely enough, a lot of those demigods are people like Michael Bloomberg, George Clooney, Oprah, all the Hollywood elite, the billionaires. So I simply say, what do they do when it comes to their lives? Oh, yes, that's right. They hire armed guards to protect themselves and their family. So why do they get the benefit of guns, but we don't? And I think that, you know, pointing out their hypocrisy, Paul, is very important for gun owners in the United States to be able to do. So when people say, why do you need a gun? Why do you need an AR-15? Why do you need this stuff? The answer is, well, how come, why does the Michael Bloombergs of the world that can have any type of protection they want, anything they want with their money, they pick guys with guns to defend their lives? Again, it's very hard for the hypocrites to get around this. And when they have the anti-gun protests, of course, the police show up with guns to protect the protesters. Yet again, proof that guns save lives.
Well, the police are going to protect us, Mark. So that's why we don't need guns. That's why we have police.
Right. Well, obviously, even though I'm a big supporter of police, the reality is the police often get there late. Remember, I point out in the book Duped that police are not first responders. That's a mistake to think of police as first responders. The real first responders are you and me. It's the people that encounter the criminality first that then call 911. We have to respond to the criminals before the police even know there's a crime usually. And as a first responder to the crime, we should be entitled to at least the same firepower as the second responders, i.e. the police, because we have to deal with the criminal first before the police get the full call on 911. And as much as I like police and support them, the reality is there's just not enough police officers out there to be with you 24/7. And, you know, even if you get good police officers, of which most are, there's plenty of bad ones out there. In fact, in Texas a couple weeks ago, there is a 911 operator that just went to jail. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Because she was basically getting, you know, she was taking thousands of 911 calls and she wasn't doing anything with them. She was hanging up on these people and she went to jail for it. So heaven forbid, if you need the police and you call that 911 operator and she hangs up on you, which is what she was doing to thousands of people in Texas, and just went to jail.
Mark, I have made people's heads explode with this question. I'll ask them, why do police officers carry guns? And you get all kinds of answers, but they're there to protect us. It's no police officers don't carry guns to protect you. Police officers carry guns to protect themselves.
Of course, that's true.
The vast majority of discharges of weapons by police officers were discharges in self defense of the police officer. And not
that's
in protection
exactly right.
of somebody else's life. So I totally get your point, but this is, Mark, this is what this is the place that we've gotten to, and you're diving into the middle of a talk show here where we're talking about, can we address our own problems rationally in this country anymore? My fear is maybe we can't. Every time we have one of these shootings, and nobody's asking, how come we never had school shootings before? Now we have them all the time. Nobody's asking that question. But every time we have one of these, the demagogues come out and they start saying we need to confiscate guns, and guns are the problem. And I don't think guns are the problem. There's clearly a problem, but I don't think guns are the problem.
No, you're right, Paul. And in the book Duped, I talk specifically about how the culture has changed, right? It used to be that AR-15s have been around since Leave It to Beaver was on the air. So what's changed? And the answer is not the guns or the availability of guns. We've always had guns in this country. What's changed is the culture. You know, I say we have four C's that have come into the country and risk our lives: the criminals, the cartels, the crazies, and the caliphate lovers or the Islamic terrorists. Those are the four main threats to our lives. They're walking our streets as we speak, like it or not. And the government, even in giving them the benefit of every doubt, simply cannot protect us from the four C's 24/7. It's not possible. So we need to be able to protect ourselves with the same firepower that the police have, because you're right. If the police officers need, let's say, AR-15s to defend their lives, well, shouldn't we have the same ability to do so, since we encounter the criminals before the police usually?
Well, that's true, but let me ask you this. You may know this stat. If you don't, we'll go find it. But what is the how does criminal behavior among those who have concealed carry permits stack up against criminal behavior as the as a percentage of the population as a whole? Are concealed carry permit holders more law-abiding than the population as a whole?
Concealed carry holders in the United States are not only more law-abiding than the population as a whole, they are actually more law-abiding than law enforcement officers in the United States. If you compare the rate of crime of police with the rate of crime of concealed carry holders, you find that police commit more crimes than do concealed carry holders. So, yes, concealed carry holders are among the most law-abiding citizens in the United States. They always have been. And, of course, they're not the ones shooting up the schools. It's the people with the mentally ills. They're the mentally ill, you know, crazies among us that usually will tell people they're going to do it ahead of time. Like in Parkland, Nicholas Cruz put on the Internet he was going to shoot up the school. The FBI was alerted, but apparently, Paul, the FBI was so worried about, you know, Paul, they were so worried about Robert Mueller's investigation of Russian interference. Apparently, they forgot to investigate Nicholas Cruz. And, of course, Cruz had a long history of mental illness, and nothing was ever done about it. And guess what? He shot up the school, even though the government knew about his threats ahead of time and did nothing about it.
Do you not agree that if the phys ed teacher in that school or the custodian or somebody was armed, that that situation could have been brought to a more peaceful conclusion than it was?
Well, yes. In fact, I talk about this in the book Dupe, specifically about how in a two-year period, the FBI analyzed 50 different active shooter situations and found that 12% of the time people with concealed carry permits actually intervened and shortened the shooting and stopped the shooter. Obviously, you're aware of this in Sutherland, Texas, right? That happened where the guy was able to stop the killer with an AR-15. But, of course, the reality is that guns cause people, you know, was often when the criminal who's the big shooter shows up, as soon as the police show up with the guns, or someone shows up with a gun, they often turn the gun on themselves or they run away. Like in San Bernardino, as soon as the police showed up, the two San Bernardino terrorists ran out the door and went on the, and basically escaped for 4 hours before the police finally found them and then killed them in a firefight. So when the police show up, i.e. a guy with a gun shows up, many of the instances they either run away or they get shot or they stop the shooting, like in Columbine, when the police showed up, they killed themselves. So, yes, guys with guns are the great deterrent, and I don't know why we don't have more of them and why we try to discourage it, other than the left, frankly, has an emotional, irrational fear of guns because, frankly, I think a lot of them, they don't have experience with guns, Paul, because in places like New York City, in places like Los Angeles, there's no way for them to even go out to a gun range legally for them to experiment with guns or learn about guns because they can't even touch a gun unless they have a gun license, but they're not going to get a gun license when they don't know anything about guns. And I think that's a big problem in the United States that's not talked about enough, that these blue state urban areas, no one can even learn about guns because the laws are so strict you can't even touch one. And how can they learn about guns if you can't even touch a gun with your buddy showing you how to shoot when you're young?
And yet they are possible. Yet they are riddled, when they particularly, you know, not so much New York, but Chicago, Baltimore, they are riddled with gun violence, even though it is very, very difficult to legally obtain a gun in those cities.
That's right, Paul. The most dangerous cities in the United States are, of course, the cities that have the most gun laws. And we see this in Europe as well, right? You know, we see gun, I mean, the Bataclan, you know, concert venue had that major terrorist attack with 12 guys with guns in Paris, France. But guess what? You're not allowed to have guns in France. How do the criminals get the guns? Because criminals always get the guns. And if it's not guns, it's knives. I write about in the book Duped that there have literally been mass knife attacks, that 20-plus people have been killed and 100 people injured in mass knife attacks in China. So it's not just the gun. It's the criminal. It's the person behind the gun. I mean, my guns sit quietly in my closet every night, and they don't kill anyone, do they? Because I'm not a criminal. And, of course, the left likes to pretend that the guns are animated, Paul, just like the cutlery in the movie Beauty and the Beast, where they take on a life of their own and they run around. But that's not how guns work. It's all about the person holding the gun as to whether or not the gun is used for a crime or for good purposes.
Mark W. Smith, constitutional attorney, author. The book title is The Official Handbook of the Vast Right-Wing Conspiracy, The Arguments You Need to Defeat the Loony Left. Good arguments this morning. Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Mark Davis Show.
Have a great day, and we appreciate your time. We will take that up, that subject up, along with the other emotional topic about children at the border, so we can add the emotional response to gun violence to the emotional response to the chaos at our border to what we talk about here on the Mark Davis Show as we take your calls after the break. Don't go away. You know, Sean, I'm your friend, too. I was just in your studio a few weeks ago. See, you don't know that because it's a recording. He's not actually here. Mark Davis is out this week. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark. Mark will return on Monday. I'll be here the rest of the week. Sean Hannity will be here today at 2. We're talking today about the emotional and the non-logical and somewhat fact-devoid responses we get to things like kids on the border being separated from their parents while their parents are being criminally charged. And then we just a few moments ago spoke with Mark W. Smith, constitutional attorney, talking about the emotional and fact-devoid arguments we get with respect to gun control every time we have one of these horrific mass shootings. And the question I've had on the floor this morning has been, do we as a nation, have we lost our capacity to examine our problems rationally and from a fact perspective and then deal with them that way? Or is it all going to be emotionalism and demagoguery? Can we solve our own problems, or is it simply going to be the hyper-emotional responses of the left that set the narrative? And that's the question on the floor this morning. 866-660-5759. Zach in Dallas, you have been most patient. We appreciate it. You're next on the Mark Davis Show. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Zach, are you there? Go.
I am. Yeah, I am. I've been listening for driving into work this morning, and my thought is this. Trump doesn't care. I mean, we elected him for the purpose of coming in to make change, and he is standing on his promises. He's not a politician. We're debating this latest issue like it's politics. I mean, we've got folks emotional on both sides going back and forth using it as leverage for one way or the other. And the truth of the matter is Trump just doesn't care. And we're going to see that as the weeks pass out. He really doesn't care. He's doing exactly what we elected him to do. We hired him for this job. And 2 months from now, 3 months from now, when there is a legitimate fix to immigration because of the pressure of politics, it'll all go away. 2 years from now, when he's running for reelection, no one will care. No one will think about it. They'll think about, look, we got the work done. And here's just kind of an analogy. I've got a sister who's a hoarder. And she collects all sorts of crazy things, and it got out of control. And she says, "I need help. I need help." I went over to help her clean out her garage and get everything cleaned up, and got halfway through. And the whole time she's going, "But no, I want to keep that. I want to keep this. I want to keep that." And that's the problem with hoarders, is they don't know how to let go of things. It's the problem with our nation. We don't have the stomach to accept that there needs to be change. And we're going to kick and scream all the way. But once it's done, we'll look back on it and go, wow, that was a good experience. I'm glad that we did that.
Well, let's hope you're right, Zach, because, you know, watching what's gone on the past 4 days since the weekend has caused me to have a little bit of fear. And let me tell you, you say he doesn't care about the politics. He has to care about the politics to some degree, because if the Republican Party loses the House and the Senate, but particularly the House in the midterm elections in November of this year, the president's ability to get anything done is going to be massively curtailed, and he will no doubt have to deal with a completely frivolous and completely fact-devoid impeachment proceeding, because these people are crazy enough to think they can make that work. So he's got to care about the politics to some degree. But I do agree with you. He is – what I think the president is doing – is having the fortitude to say, this is a nasty problem that's going to cause a lot of short-term pain, and I am going to endure the pain. The question I have is, if we have a president that will endure the pain, will we endure the pain? And that's...
Well, that's... My thought is this, is the optics are all focused on the president and his administration. Now the Republicans get to come in and save the day when they come up with an immigration policy that passes. And
all right,
so I
Zach,
think that will work to their favor,
Zach,
in the election cycle.
I've gone long. I got to let you go. But appreciate your call. That opens up a line, 866-660-5759. More on this after we go to Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. Don't Paul Gleiser is sitting in for Mark Davis this week on the Mark Davis Show. I'll be here the rest of the week. Mark returns on Monday, 866-660-5759. If you'd like to be a part of the program, 866-660-5759. We've been talking most of the morning about the ongoing, extremely emotionally driven but somewhat fact-devoid coverage of what's going on at the southern border as it pertains to the separation of parents and their children, what you're seeing versus what is really happening, how it is being reported as opposed to how it really is. These are the topics on the floor this morning, and we'd like to know your thoughts, 866-660-5759. We added to that here in the last half hour discussion about our rather fact-devoid but emotionally driven arguments regarding gun control every time there's an incidence of gun violence, 866-660-5759. The bonus question this morning, by the way, has been you get to work and you get on the elevator with a coworker and you smell that she has liquor on her breath, she has alcohol on her breath there early in the morning. Do you A, quietly say something to her, B, quietly say something to the boss, or C, mind your own business? 866-660-5759. Back to the phones. Daniel in Hillsboro, you're next on the Mark Davis Show. Go.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to say that one thing people aren't really realizing is that a lot of this problem with the cartels and the people wanting asylum and stuff and coming from Latin America, Mexico. I mean, if people forget that during the Obama administration, they run thousands and thousands of machine guns to the cartels in Mexico. Eric Holder and Obama, they claimed executive privilege. They covered stuff up. It was under Robert Mueller's FBI. And I could get into my conspiracy theories about that. But I believe this is what the Obama administration wanted, and they were trying to drive more illegal immigration for votes. And I mean, these kids that are being, they're still being murdered by these guns in Mexico. And yes, we need to deal with this problem that we have. 10,000 of the 12,000 have come without parents. I mean, they're sending their kids, and I just wanted to bring up that point because I mean, to me, that's where was the hysteria? I mean, what's worse, kids being murdered? I mean, these pastors that are saying this about Jeff Sessions, I mean, what's worse, that kids being murdered by this or somebody trying to work out the situation, you know, to protect kids against trafficking? And yes, we need to do better with it. But where's the hysteria or where's the correct judgment? And I seem a little upset, but, you know, I mean, they need to work together, Congress does, and do something.
Well,
but where's the hysteria? I mean, what's worse, a murder from guns that were sent, you know, to the cartels from the last administration or the situation now? I mean, the hyperbolic rhetoric that's coming out is just, you know, it's media driven, and I know it's political and it's against Trump. I do think Trump cares. That last caller, Zach, I do think Trump cares.
Well, let's take the contra on that, Daniel. Do you imagine that Donald Trump, who has children and grandchildren of his own, is so cold-hearted and so fundamentally mean that he is deliberately and delightfully separating children from their parents because that's just how he rolls? Do you believe that's what the media and the left are wanting you to believe, that it's not Donald Trump trying to enforce the law, it's not Donald Trump trying to restore order on our southern border and stop the chaos and stop the unending flow of people into our country who put burdens on our social services, put burdens on our schools, put burdens on our hospitals, put burdens on our law enforcement agencies. It's not Donald Trump and the president and the federal government acting under his direction trying to solve that problem. What's going on, according to the narrative, is Donald Trump hates poor people and hates kids, and so he's taking action against them to act on that animus. That's really, they're not saying those words, but that's really what the pictures look like, and that's what the coverage looks like if you watch the coverage on this. And it avoids the issue, and it avoids the dealing with, and this is my question this morning, do we just refuse to deal with our problems? We cannot afford unlimited immigration into the United States. We as a people get to, A, have a country, have borders, and we get to decide for ourselves who we let in and who we say, sorry, we must turn you away. And that's not the case now. And the president we elected ran on that issue and ran on fixing this problem. He's now trying to fix it. And the demagogues are out in force. And my fear is the demagogues are gaining meaningful ground against rational attempts to deal with the problem. That's my concern about all of this, Daniel. Appreciate your call. That opens up a line, 866-660-5759. You know, I brought up earlier, I'm going to do it one more time. Suppose you come home from work one day and find that a man and a wife and their three kids have moved into your house, and their reason for doing so is, they tell you, well, the house we came from is falling in on itself, and it's in a crime-ridden neighborhood, and we were in fear of our lives, so we're going to live here now. Are you obligated to take them in? Do you say, well, all right, I got to let you live here because that's a real problem, and I understand, so I'm obligated to put a roof over your head and make sure the fridge is stocked and to make sure that that you have clean sheets and you have plenty of water to shower up in the morning and that you're well taken care of here. Do you have that obligation just because somebody says living in your house will provide them a better life than living in the house they came from? And the answer is, of course, it's an absurd illustration, but it does make the point. No, you don't have that obligation. So why do we as a nation have a similar obligation toward millions of people who come from admittedly impoverished, miserable countries where their prospects of a good life are dim, where their fear for their personal safety may be great? Do we have an unlimited obligation to take those people in? And the answer is, we can no more afford to do that than you and your wife and your kids can afford to have a family suddenly move into your home. You just simply cannot do that. And that's really what's at issue here. And what's going on as a result of that is the coverage that you're seeing of the inevitable dislocations and unpleasantness inevitably attendant to trying to solve that problem. And the question is, do we have the gumption to actually solve the problem? 866-660-5759. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis on The Mark Davis Show. Annie, you're next from Yantis on The Mark Davis Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the question that you were proposing about a co-worker coming to work and you thought you smelled alcohol on their breath.
The bonus question, absolutely.
Well, my first inclination would be to speak to that person privately.
Okay.
Mainly because they may not realize that they have that smell, because oftentimes a person with diabetes has an alcoholic smell.
Okay, let's get past that kind of an outlying situation. I get that, Annie. But let's say the problem really is that they had a drink or two or three before they came to work this morning.
Well, I think I would still want to speak to them privately first and give them the benefit of the doubt of something possibly just went wrong that morning. Tell them if you smelled it again, you would report them. Because it's for their safety too, as well as the co-workers.
Have you ever had this situation? Have you ever experienced it? I have.
No, I haven't, and I'm glad I haven't. There have been other situations, but not that particular type.
Any thoughts on our main question this morning about do we as a nation have the gumption to solve our problems, or will demagoguery rule the day going forward?
Well, I have the gumption to try to solve them, but there's, you know, evil versus good, and it just depends upon how this nation wants to stand up and say, hey, we've had enough of this, and I support Trump's efforts 100%. And that's the reason why it's important to get out and vote every time there's an election and for people to learn about the people that are running for that office. Because here in Texas, we've had people that said, oh, yes, we are good Republican. And lo and behold, they were just a wolf in a sheep's clothing.
Well, you know, Annie, here's the thing. It's more important than just voting every 2 years. In the interim, I think it's very important that you, if you believe what you believe, that you take the time to put the steel in the spine of those you've elected to stand up and do the right thing against amazing pressure from the other side. You would, the amount of pressure, the left is very good at this. The amount of pressure that the left applies to people that the left might believe could be somewhat wishy-washy on a particular issue that might be vulnerable is enormous. And do not think that congressmen and senators, and particularly congressmen, because they face voters every 2 years, don't think they're not susceptible to the emotional images that they're seeing on TV from the southern border, and susceptible to being swayed by 600 Methodist ministers writing a letter to Jeff Sessions and the Pope saying what the Pope has had to say, and all of the things that go on the other side of this issue, rather than having the moxie and the stomach to stand up and say, look, this is painful. It's not fun watching what happens when you start trying to deal with people who are breaking the law. It's oftentimes not pleasant. It has negative repercussions on people who are completely innocent. But the only way you stop the law breaking is to stop the law breaking. And you pay that price in the short term in the hope that you solve the problem in the long term by making it clear that you won't tolerate the law breaking. And what's going on our southern border is the outgrowth of decades of not enforcing the law, and then all of a sudden jumping up and deciding you're going to enforce the law. Annie, it's a great call. Thanks for calling. That opens the line, 866-660-5759. Little teaser coming up at the top of the hour after the news at 9 o'clock. We have a reporter from the Associated Press that is going to detail for us all of the connections that Donald Trump has to Russia. In reading the briefing on this interview, it's very clear that this reporter thinks that, you know, that there's all kinds of ties between Trump and Russia that we don't appreciate, don't understand. This reporter believes makes, from what I can see, makes Trump a bad guy. We're gonna hear about that. And we're gonna air it out, and I'm gonna challenge that individual as best I can. Coming up after the top of the hour here on the Mark Davis Show. But our basic question, though, do we as a nation, have we reached the place where images from the media have more power than thought, reason, and rational responses to solving very, very difficult, very, very deeply entrenched problems? Do the images win the day, or can we think through our problems? 866-660-5759. More coming after the break here on the Mark Davis Show. Don't go away. Coming up on 8:56 here on 660 AM, The Answer, Dallas Fort Worth. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis on the Mark Davis Show. Mark returns on Monday. He's on vacation this week. Hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser. That's GLEISER. Follow my weekly column on my blog, YouTellMeTexas.com. You know, nothing has changed at the southern border except for this. The Attorney General of the United States said earlier this year, we are going to begin enforcing the law on a zero-tolerance basis. The law being, you can't sneak across the border. Sneaking across the border is a crime. It's a misdemeanor the first time you try it. It's a felony the second time you try it. And for the first time in years, decades, the Attorney General of the United States, the administration, the executive branch, is enforcing the law. And it has resulted in, and about about 2,000 kids out of 12,000 that have that are in some way involved in federal care. About 2,000 kids have been separated from their parents while those proceedings are pending. But it's the enforcing of the law that caused the problem. It's the breaking of the law that really causes the problem. And none of the reporting says that. And that's what's at issue. Coming up after the top of the hour, Seth Hetna, a reporter for the Associated Press, a correspondent. He is going to detail for us the Trump-Russia ties that he details that he has says he has uncovered in his coverage. And we're going to talk about that and see where what he knows, but maybe that Robert Mueller either doesn't know or hasn't told us. That's after the top of the hour here on the Mark Davis Show. Much more to come. Don't go away. Paul Gleiser sitting in here on 660 AM The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.